That's all I got for books.
All right. That's a good chunk. That's a good chunk. All
right. Doing that. That's what I say to my cat. Yeah. Too,
that's a good chunk.
That's a good chunk.
Hi there. Welcome to Goodreads Better Friends.
Welcome.
I'm Morgan.
I'm Aisha.
You've probably listened to our podcast before. If not, welcome. We talk about books here sometimes.
Yeah.
And a lot of other things.
So many other things. A lot of side quests on this podcast.
Yes, there are. A lot of little rants and tangents. This episode is kind of our catch-up episode. We've been giving you a lot of guest episodes lately, which I hope you like. We've had a blast doing them. We've gotten to hang out with some really cool people. Get to know some people that we might have known, but we didn't really know, you know?
Okay,
So yeah, we're just going to talk about some books that we've read this past year that maybe we haven't mentioned on the podcast or have, but haven't gotten to get too deep into them. And yeah, I think we're just going to go through some books and then go through our media absorption and kind of just have like a chill time.
If you've been here before, you know what it is.
Yeah, you know what it
you
is.
You know what I know.
Yep, so, yeah, I looked through our notes when I was preparing this because I couldn't remember which books I read last year and which books I read this year, and audiobooks, too. And so I was looking through my notes, and they were all so organized. They were organized by fiction category and nonfiction and poetry, and this time I'm just like, here's some books. It's been a year.
After a while, you're just like, you know what, let me just get it down.
Right. All right, so I'm going to hop in with some books.
Yeah, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Sure. Do you want to do them one at a time or just a clump at a time?
Well, I only have a clump, but you seem to have a much larger clump, so if you would like to go first.
Sure. Yeah, these are just some books that I have either read or listened to this year that we haven't talked about on the podcast at all. So I'll just jump right in. The first one is called In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado. That was recommended to me by a friend of ours. I know I've talked about her collection of short stories on the podcast before. It's called Her Body and Other Parties. I think that's what it's called. Yes. And I remember describing that book as like reading a fever dream. And this book is this very much the same. It's a memoir where she uses different writing tropes to kind of reflect on her her time in an abusive relationship, in a same-sex relationship. And she brings up a lot how, like, queer abuse is not really talked about, and there's not a lot of literature on it. And so she kind of is trying to change that a little bit with her book. And it is beautifully written, and it's heartbreaking. Yeah, I highly recommend it to everybody. All right. So then I have two books by the same author whose name I really slaughtered in the last podcast episode that we recorded with Zach and Evan, which was really upsetting and devastating to me because I have said her name many times at home to myself and gotten it right. But for some reason, when there was a microphone in front of me, I could not. So I'm going to do it right now. I was saying it to myself while I was jogging today. The author's name is Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Still kind of stuttered through that. Seriously, I can say it so well when I'm not saying it in front of people. Anyways, she wrote two excellent books that I have read or listened to this year. The first one was Americana. I listened to the audiobook of that, which I highly recommend because it's about a Nigerian woman who moves to the United States to go to college. And she has like a job as a nanny for a while, and she ends up becoming, I think, like an adjunct professor, throughout the timeline. And so like, she has like a long, interesting experience moving to America. And then eventually she decides to move back back to Africa because it's just her happy place and it's where she feels most at home. But it's very interesting, like her experience as an immigrant dealing with all different sorts of people. And that one's good as an audiobook because there are so many different accents that are used, different characters from different countries. The woman who reads it does an amazing job of just nailing every single accent. And the second one is Purple Hibiscus, also by the same author. That one is about a 15-year-old girl living in Africa, in Nigeria, and her father is deeply religious Catholic, and he kind of shuns his father, who is pagan. She just thinks that this is the norm until, oh, and her deeply Catholic father is also abusive. And so she thinks that's just the norm until she goes and spends some time with her aunt, who, you know, embraces both religion, Catholicism, and the paganism, and she learns a lot about the world, and very good. Both amazing reads. I listened to Road to Jonestown by Jeff Gwynn, which is about Jim Jones and how he got from a weird little guy, little kid who went to all the different churches in town just to learn about them, to running his own church, to moving to Jonestown and, you know, being responsible for the death of almost 500 people. Last Podcast on the Left has really good, like, 5-part series on Jonestown, and it's fascinating. And they use this particular book as a point of reference for those episodes. So, yeah, it was really good. I learned a lot. I listened to a book called Reincarnation Blues by Michael Poor. It's a really interesting fiction book. One of the reasons I even bought it is because there were a couple different reviews on it that said that he had very much a style like Kurt Vonnegut, which you guys know I'm a whore for Vonnegut. And so, yeah, I was interested. And it's about a man who basically is reincarnated like a bunch of times, and the goal is to, like, live a perfect life, and then you can move on to the ether or whatever. But this guy just keeps fucking it up. Sometimes it's on purpose, and sometimes it's not. And so he's getting close to the end of his amount of times that he can reincarnate. It's, like, 1,000 times or something like that. And so you, like, follow him through all these different lives that he lives. And every time he's reincarnated, like, little bits of his past selves stay kind of in his head and try to help him on through the next parts. It is, you can definitely see the Kurt Vonnegut inspiration in it, but I have to say, and it's really interesting. I like seeing the different types of lives that he lives and stuff, and the different characters he meets, but there are parts of it that are kind of brutal, like kind of like torturous things that he has to go through, and there were parts where I had to stop listening because it was just getting to be too much. Like, every person that his character loves is dying, and it's just like, ugh. So, yeah, I guess I'm saying it's a pretty good book, and I do like the quirkiness of it, but it can be kind of tough to read at some points, so that's my review on that book. One that I really, really loved was called Disappearing Earth by Julia Phillips. It's about two little girls get abducted. It takes place on the Kamchatka Peninsula in Russia, and so it's kind of like, the Kamchatka Peninsula is kind of like set apart from everything else, and so it's kind of like its own little world over there. And so these two young girls go missing. They're abducted in the middle of the day, kind of in plain sight, and then you don't hear from them for the rest of the book. And the rest of the story is told from viewpoints of different people on the Kamchatka Peninsula. They're all their different stories, they kind of intertwine, and in every different story they are some degrees removed from these two little girls. They might not know them at all. They've just seen about them on TV, or they might be friends of the mother or whatever it is. And it's all these little, it's almost like a collection of short stories that are bound together by these two missing girls. And the way that it all comes together in the end is just like riveting. I love this book so much. I read a book from South Korea called If I Had Your Face by Francis Cha. And that is kind of it's a fictional story. Also kind of like, it has like four different main characters. And so they each have their own different chapters with different stories. I love when novels are set up like that. It's kind of like reading a bunch of short stories that weave together, which is like totally my jam, apparently. And so, yeah, it takes a harsh look at like the beauty culture in Korea and just like kind of the treatment of women in general. Really fascinating. Made me happy that I live the life that I live. And then I just finished listening to The Color Purple by Alice Walker, and that was really amazing. Definitely an emotional book to listen to, but beautiful. Like, I seriously loved it, and I fell so in love with all of the characters. And then I'm currently reading a collection of short stories called Get in Trouble by Kelly Link. And that was recommended by a friend. And I absolutely love it. It really does remind me of Carmen Maria Machado, which the reason that the friend told me about this book is because I liked Carmen Maria Machado so much. So yeah, it's a great little collection of short stories. Very fantastical. Those are my books from this year.
Well, I feel like I should have gone first because everyone's going to be disappointed. You always read such, like, well-rounded books, and then I'm like, I read The Love Hypothesis.
There's no right or wrong books to read.
I think I've read 5 books since the last time that we recorded, like, a Goodreads episode with just you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the Goodreads episode. So I read The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave, which was a book of the month book that was really, really good. I'm still like, I remember when I was getting to the end of it and I like FaceTimed my friend and I was like, I don't know if I like this or not. Like, it's like so well written. It's really, really good. But then you're like, okay, this guy kind of sucks though. Mm. Like, her husband kind of sucks. And it's just like this story of this woman, this like artsy woman. She met this man like maybe a couple years ago. They fell in love, got married, and he had like a 16-year-old daughter already. Presently she's 16, but like she was like 14 or something when they met. Mm-hmm. And it's like them, the wife, whose name is leaving me, and she's the main character, so I should know her name. Mm-hmm. Is kind of stuck with the daughter because the husband disappears and there's this whole scandal with this company he was a part of. And she's like, has motherhood forced on her with a kid that barely likes her. And it's like a really good story of, you know, their relationship and their ups and downs and, you know, her trying to level with a teenager, like, and parenthood and, also trying to find her husband. And it's just, it ends like really ambiguously. I did like it. It was a good book. I did like it.
I like that you convinced yourself there.
So I listened to a book called A Study in Charlotte, which is like a present day version of Sherlock and Watson. And it's like in this universe where for every Sherlock, there's always a Watson. They're like two big families that somehow, some way always come together. It's just like a kind of very cute, I guess. And it's a more emotional Sherlock. It's like a Sherlock I've never seen before. And maybe it's because Sherlock is a woman in this. Yeah, it was just cute, honestly. I listened to that from Libby. I read Home Before Dark, which was so good, by Riley Sager. That was also a Book of the Month book. And God, if you don't have Book of the Month, honestly, it's addicting. Because the books are like, I don't think I've read one that I didn't like, and Home Before Dark was so good. I could not put that damn book down. It was like good and creepy. It jumped between our character and present day, and then her father in this book that he wrote about this haunted house that they lived in for literally 20 days. They lived in it for 20 days and then they dipped. And it sucks because they put all their money into that house, but he wrote like after they left, he ended up writing this book about her experiences when she was really little in the house, but she has no memory of it. So she's like, she doesn't know if he lied or just exaggerated something. So she's like trying to figure out the truth. And then on top of that, her father just died, so she inherited the house. So she's trying to fix it up and sell it, but she's also trying to like piece together her childhood and like, you know, figure out if her father lied or if everything in the book was true. And then there was like a body found in the ceiling, and one of the girls that she was friends with when she was very young, who at the time was 16, went missing the same day that they left the house. So people like speculated that her father maybe could have killed her, or that he was having some kind of inappropriate relationship with her and something happened. So it's so good. Like, love this book.
That sounds amazing. I want to read that.
Oh, I have it if you want to read. Okay. It's a great book. I won't spoil the ending or anything, but loved it. The Love Hypothesis. I'm terrible because I don't remember the characters' names, but this was the cutest damn book I've ever read. It's a romance. So like if you were feeling like you want a little romance right now, I would check out The Love Hypothesis. It's super popular right now, and it made me, like, it, like, revamped my love of romance, because I stopped reading romance novels. I don't know why. I think I just thought there was something childish about it, so I stopped reading it, but this, like, I have another one over there by a similar author with a similar story, and I'm, like, excited to read it. But it was really cute. It's about this scientist girl. She's, like, the one of the only women in the STEM program that she's in, and then there's this teacher that everyone, like, thinks is grumpy and mean, but really he's just really stern and really smart, and turns out to be, like, super sweet and everything. Like, it's apparently, like, a massive hunk. I mean, if it's a romance novel, of course they have to be a hunk. One of her friends, who's also in the STEM program, they're the only two women in the STEM program, likes this guy that she once dated, but she wasn't really, like, interested in him because she's not someone that's, like, very interested in relationships. So she pretended to date this professor so that her friend would, you know, express her feelings to this guy so they can date. And it seems kind of stupid when you think about it, but, like, when you're someone that isn't necessarily a romantic person, this is, like, a huge gesture just to, like, make sure your friend is happy. Because she's such an academic person. She's not a romantic person. So to her, this is, like, a huge deal. But it seems kind of stupid when you talk about it. But, like, it makes sense when you think about the character. Because she just really wanted her friend to be happy and to be with this guy that she was, like, really in love with. So, obviously, she ended up falling in love with the professor, and they ended up falling in love with each other. They also found out that they had met, like, 2 or 3 years before, which he knew, but she didn't know. And he's, like, liked her ever since. And aww, it's just so cute. Like, oh my god, please read The Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood. And then I listened to Broken Monsters by Lauren Bukes.
Yay.
That was so good. It's, like, a gritty crime novel, but it's, like, it's...
But it's so much more.
It's very diverse, first of all. Mm-hmm. I was very excited to see, like, this mix of characters. There's black in there. There's all kinds of races in there. It's, like, Detroit and the ghetto of Detroit. And it's these, you know, this string of murders happening. And it's just... Listen to it.
Because it is so well performed on the audiobook. Oh my gosh.
And it, like, it jumps through a multitude of characters, and it's really, really well done. So I definitely recommend listening to it.
It was like watching a TV show.
Yeah, like a
crime. But in my brain.
A crime show. Like, it was really good.
It was amazing.
And right now, I didn't write this down, but I'm reading a book called Spider's Web by Mike Omer, who also wrote, I can't remember the title of the books, but because I always just refer to it as the Zoe Bentley novels. And they're like, I've talked about them before. They're about this girl who's a forensic psychologist, and she's, like, so brilliant. They're just cool. If you are into the crime genre, those are really, really good books to read, so I totally recommend those. That's all I got for books.
Alright. That's a good chunk. That's a good chunk.
Alright.
That's what I say to my cat.
Yeah.
That's a good chunk.
He's a good chunk.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. What you watching?
I have one show listed on here. I really haven't been watching anything, to be honest, but YouTube. I watched a couple days ago, I watched God's Own Country, which is, like, this beautiful gay romance. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, this guy, and they're, like, in, I think they're in London. He lives on a farm with his parents, and he tends to the farm. His father's sickly. His mom just does all the, you know, like, the house chores. So he tends to the farm, and he's kind of also a fuck up, so he's a drunk. He, like, goes out every night, gets drunk, hooks up with a dude, and then passes out, throws up everywhere, and his mom has to clean it. Like, he's a massive fuck up. So they end up hiring this man. He's, like, he's from Russia, I think. I think it's Russia, but he's foreign, and he also lived on a farm. So he, like, just knows all these tips and tricks, and he's, like, so gentle with all the animals and just, like, in general. And he sort of, like, teaches him to be soft, and it's, like, it's so beautiful to watch. Like, it's one of my favorite movies. It's really sweet. It's on Hulu. Just check it out. It just makes me feel all good. Because he literally just teaches him to be soft and to, like, be himself. And it's just so beautiful. And then I've watched the show One of Us is Lying. It's a really cool show about this kid. He's, like, a huge fucking douchebag. He, like, just knew all these secrets about everybody. Don't know how the fuck he does, but he just knows everything. And he, okay, I can't say that because that'll spoil. Basically, he dies. He's murdered. It's like all these kids were, it's like five of them, I can't remember, maybe five or six of them. They were in detention with him when it happened. So, and it was like a poisoning. So all of these kids are suspects in this murder. It's just crazy because they were all, about to have secrets exposed about them. So now, not only did this kid just die by poisoning, while all the same kids were in detention that he was about to release secrets about, but wait, no, that's the end of that statement. But, yeah, so these kids are being investigated and they're kind of just like, I don't know, it's just one of those weird, crazy high schools where like shit happens that would never happen in a real high school. But it's still really good and I liked it. So I actually got the books, so I'm gonna read them.
What, where did you watch that?
Peacock. You have to have Peacock Premium to watch it, I think. Okay. I think you can watch like the first three episodes with just the basic, but you have to pay for more episodes.
Okay.
And then I recently watched Scream 1 and 2. And oh my god, can I just say that I did not realize how many, like, 80s horror references was in the first Scream movie because it's been so long since I watched it. Like, I highly recommend going back and watching Scream. It's so good. I just watched the first and the second one because Peacock would not give me access to the third and fourth without paying, and I wasn't paying, so. But yeah, that's all I watch for movies and shows. Okay. And then on YouTube, I've been watching Gab play this game called I'm on Observation Duty. It's like you flip through all these security cameras, and you have to figure out, like, what's different in each scene. So, like, sometimes there'll be, like, an intruder or a ghost or something, or, like, an abyss showing up, or an object might go missing, and you have to, like, pinpoint it.
Is it spooky?
It's kind of spooky, yeah. Ooh. Especially when the intruder comes in. It's like silly spooky though. It's okay. Like, it's like kind of jarring, but it's like, what the fuck is this? And I've also been watching her play Stardew Valley while I also play Stardew Valley. She's one of my favorite people. She's just so gentle and I just love watching her. I watched John Wolf play A Fierce to Fathom game, which I guess they release like maybe one game every couple of months. And they're like based on people's like real life experiences. It's sort of like Let's Not Meet, but video game format. Ooh. So they create video games based on stories that they've gotten. And the last one, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like about this weird experience with a creepy man in a hotel. And it was really scary to begin with because like her car is like intentionally messed with. So it ends up breaking down, and then she gets a ride from this...
It's like my biggest fear.
I know, me too! And then she gets a ride from this, she gets the ride from the guy that she had seen at the gas station. And he was telling her about, like, some creatures in the woods that, that were, like, legends around there. And to be careful of people, and he dropped her off at a hotel. Immediately, the guy behind the counter is kind of creepy, but we shouldn't judge people because he actually ends up saving her life. This man creeps on her, like, he watches her through the window, takes pictures through the window, and then, like, tries to get her to open the door in the middle of the night. It's, like, 3 a.m., and then he breaks down the door, so you, like, have to hide in the closet, and the microphone comes on, so you, like, physically playing can't make any noises, or he'll find you in the closet. No. Yeah, it's really good. I don't know if it's based on real stories, or if it's based on, like, stories people, unsettling things that make people uncomfortable, or, like, fears that we have, you know? Like, our car is breaking down and being stranded at a creepy motel.
That really does sound like a video game version of a Let's Not Meet episode.
Yeah, though, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're fun. Who else have I was watching Kinda Well Done. I like Kinda Well Done. Mm-hmm. Their Castlevania playthrough is pretty fun. Never thought I'd be interested in Castlevania, but they make it so much fun. And they generally just play, like, Nintendo party games, which is fun, too. They played a little Resi. You know, I love Resi. They're still putting out some Donkey Kong episodes, and I will never not like those because they're so much fun. Check them out. They're friends of ours. Kinda Well Done.
Yay!
So that's what I've been watching.
I just finished watching Atypical on Netflix. I very much enjoyed that show. The characters were just amazing. I just love the characters. You know, and you know when you just, like, I don't know, maybe the plot of the show you don't really give a shit about, but then there are, like, particular characters that you just, like, Yes, I'm watching this for you. His dad is one of my favorite characters, and his sister, Casey, is absolutely one of my favorite characters. Excellent show. I love it. Now that we have Peacock, I've been rewatching Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, my God.
Which I remember watching that when it was, like, on TV.
Me too.
And so, like, I was like, I always get worried about rewatching shows that I haven't watched in a long time because I'm like, what if this doesn't hold up? And there are some shows that don't. But honestly, I think Third Rock from the Sun holds up. I have been thoroughly enjoying it.
Also, was my... One of my first crush on a man was Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that long hair.
Yeah, hair, I did man. Too. I just finished watching the new season of Awkwafina. That was good.
That was good, there right?
There was an episode where they're talking about her mom, where it like gave me some
feelings. Was that when the power went out?
Yeah.
Oh my God,
yeah. That gave me feelings. And she like talks about like talking to she has like a long-term like relationship on the phone with a sex phone lady because the sex phone lady is like telling her what her period is and stuff. Like when she's a kid, it's funny.
It's good.
I watch this show and I'm obsessed with it, and then I forget that it exists until I see it somewhere again. And Chewing Gum is the show that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it popped up on HBO recently. I was like, oh, yeah, Chewing Gum.
Love an awkward black girl show.
Oh, my gosh. I've watched the whole thing at least twice, if not three times now, but I'm watching it again because it's so funny.
Oh, I forget about Chewing Gum.
Yes, exactly. Brody and I just rewatched all of Search Party and then watched the new season of Search Party. I'm not giving any spoilers.
Because I haven't watched it.
I'm not giving any spoilers. It's just, I'll just say it's very different and I was shocked the whole time. So that's all I'm going to say.
So good shocked or like, I could not have watched this shocked?
I don't know. It's different is all I'm going to say. I don't want to give anything away.
Search Party is different. Let's be honest.
Search Party, yes. And you know, there was some very interesting character development that I can't wait to talk about with you. So, I love the cast of that show. I recently have rewatched it, and I just, like, she's awful, but I love Portia so much because she's like, oh my gosh, I totally know what you're talking about. Like, she's so fake, and it's hilarious.
She's so, like, dense, but, like, unaware of it.
Yes. She's so freaking funny. So, anyways, I love them all. I love that show. I have been watching Brody Play Detention, so that's very good. I ate half of that edible that you gave me.
Do you want me to
cut is that off? Okay? I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't care. I'm okay with it if you are.
I'm okay with it.
I don't care if people know.
I don't care. So, we won't get in trouble, will we?
No.
In Ohio. Okay. So, I don't care if you don't care. So, anyways, I ate half of an edible and watched Brody play Detention, and so like any of the puzzle parts I'm pretty sure I was useless because I think about when I am high is that like I misinterpret everything, like I read everything upside down and backwards, I feel like, you know what I mean? And so like when I watch TV shows even, I'll laugh at a joke that wasn't a joke or something like that because so, like, trying to understand, like, game puzzles and stuff, I'm pretty sure I was useless. But it was a lot of fun. Such a good good game.
Yeah.
I was going to say good show, because it was a show for me.
Watch the show, though.
Oh, I will, so definitely.
And then subtitles. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Yeah, I'll definitely need those. Another thing that is Zach mentioned is this short film on YouTube called Backrooms Found Footage. It is it's creepy. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I watched it in broad daylight and I still was like, when I was watching it. So I don't know if that means anything. So all I will say is it's like liminal space. Like it is like when it says back rooms, it's like back rooms. This guy basically gets lost in this liminal space and he's just like in these never ending rooms that don't make any sense the way that they're configured. And just creepiness ensues.
I feel like that, and, like that liminal space theme would make it even more creepy.
Yes, and that's part of the reason, because, yeah, that's what makes it super creepy, for sure.
God.
And so I watched that, and then I don't know why I didn't write this down. I watched that short film on YouTube, and then a playthrough of a video game popped up next to it called Enemyopolis. which I will definitely link in the show notes because there's no way you're going to know how to spell it from how I just said it. But it is a short atmospheric terror game about liminal spaces. So basically, your character works for a company where he's sent out to check out. They have like an empty lot that they're going to develop. But right now there's a bunch of like, there's a big power spike on it for some reason and they don't know why. So they're just sending you out to investigate it. And you go out and you look and there's like a plug-in box located on the land. And there's somebody's plugged something into it, like a big old cord. So you're like, what the fuck? So you follow the cord. It takes you out into the middle of this pasture. And then there's like another plug where you're supposed to go unplug it. So you go to unplug it and you fucking fall through. And he lands in like this giant swimming pool underground. And he like swims out and he's like, what the fuck? And he has to find his way out of that room. And he goes into another room and it's more swimming pools. And he's like walking around this weird swimming pool. And then there's like a lazy river. So he's like walking through the lazy river. And it's supposed to be like a resort, but it's like completely empty. And there's only music playing in the lazy river. The rest of it is like complete silence, except for you, your footsteps, right? And then it's just like a labyrinth of different like swimming pools and different rooms and locker rooms. And it's like, it gets creepy feeling real quickly. And so it's, yeah, it's like this liminal space video game. And then of course, you know, you're not alone. So like, it's so creepy. It gives off Portal vibes if Portal was a horror game. Like, because you're just by yourself, just trying to figure out how to get to the next spot. And it's just, ooh, it's creepy. I love it. So I don't know if that game's even available yet because the guy that was playing the walkthrough was playing like a beta version. So I don't know if the full game's out yet, but I'll do some research and link it. And then I'm just wanted to say that I'm really excited for the new season of Ozark. I haven't watched it yet, and I'm very, very excited for the new season of Mrs. Maisel, which is coming out this month. I don't know when. Yes.
I just want a third season of Fleabag. That's all
I'm asking for. Me too. I feel like people have said something that somebody said something about doing something, but then, like, also, like...
None of those sources are...
Reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. I hope that there's more.
Because I heard something from someone about Julian the Phantoms and just found out that it was canceled after the first season. Because Netflix are a bunch of hoe bags.
Aww.
Bunch of whores.
I hate it. You only get that one little bite-sized piece of a show. That's how it feels about Fleabag, too. You just got a little bite. I want more.
I want more Hot Priest. I need Hot Priest. I was just listening to The Basement Yard today, and Frankie was talking about the Hot Priest, and I was like, this is why I listen to this fucking podcast. Because he was straight up just like, man, I'd fuck that priest, man.
He's great. Seriously, okay, the scene where she's in the confession booth with him is one of the most erotic scenes I've ever seen, and you don't even see any titties. Like, there's no nudity, but it is the most erotic fucking scene I've ever, like...
I had to take a sip of water, I'm feeling a little thirsty.
It is shocking.
It's so like, funny. It's so good. Because I've never thought Andrew Johnson? Andrew something. The guy who plays
Scott.
The priest.
Andrew Scott. That's close.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
I've never thought he was attractive until he was in this role.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, damn. Come on,
I didn't watch Sherlock, but I saw like a lot of like stuff on like Tumblr of Moriarty. And he never even like registered with me, but... There's something about him in this role in particular.
That is just...
It's just...
Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
My God.
So, all hail Hot Priest.
Hot Priest.
What are your podcasts you're listening to?
Well, I just mentioned The Basement Yard. Mm-hmm. I kept seeing... I haven't listened to this podcast in so long. So, I kept seeing little clips of it on Instagram. And I was like, this is so funny. I really need to listen to it. So, I spent all day today listening to The Basement Yard. Excuse me. And those guys are just so funny and so good. They were like Bash and I think it was Joe Rogan. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Because of like all the misinformation and shit that he's been spreading. And like, these guys are just so good. Like, Joe Santagato.
I was going to ask if that was one of the Joe Santagato ones.
Love him.
Because I listen to other people's lives with him in it. So, okay.
I want to marry that fucking New York asshole. I swear to God. The Adventure Zone is the other one I've been binging lately. I just started The Suffering Game. So I'm really excited about that. It already has me, like, on the edge of my seat, so we were supposed to wear attached shirts today.
We were. I totally forgot.
We could do it next time. Okay. Two Girls, One Ghost, of course. I'm trying to get caught up on that one. My latest episode was about, they just did an episode on Asylum, so they each chose, I don't know what asylums they chose, but they each chose one and then did research and then talked about it. And it's good and creepy. So if you want good and creepy, Two Girls, One Ghost. Your Own Backyard. It is, I think this was just a few episodes, well, it's like 10 or 11 episodes, about Kristen Smart, the murder of Kristen Smart. And it's very well done, very well researched. They did really good interviews. And it's infuriating listening to these podcasts and seeing how much police fuck everything up. The things that they will not investigate, like it's so fucking infuriating. It's like, if you're gonna go into the profession of being a detective or a police officer, why won't you take your job more seriously? Because this murder could have been solved back then, and they just now put that man in prison. I think maybe like 5 years ago, I don't remember. And it the whole thing is gross. And also, I just want to say, if you know anything about the Kristen Smart case, then you'll understand when I say that if I had a child that I knew committed a murder, that bitch is going to prison, okay? Because I didn't raise a murderer. Like, this man, I can't remember his stupid name, but this man and his father, like, hid this murder, buried this woman's body. I mean, young woman in college. Buried this woman's body, moved it. They still haven't located her body. Jesus. And they will not tell them where it is. And it just makes me so mad. Like, that's the least you can do. But anyway, sorry, I'm getting angry.
No, you're fine.
I've been listening to Let's Not Meet, which is like true creepy crime stories. Not necessarily crime stories, just like further proof that everyone has a weird ass experience with men, to be quite honest. Sometimes women, but mostly men. And it can make you a little paranoid, to be honest, but it's also like, I'd rather have the awareness than not. It's just really good, and it's really creepy, so.
Super unsettling, but I love it. I know! But, yeah, I can only listen to one or two episodes at a time, and then I get like, too creeped out.
Basement yard. I'm like, let me check all of my closets with my like, wooden piece before I go to bed. Because I can't do this. Unraveled. I listened to season one, which was about the Long Island serial killer. Who I'm pretty sure they still haven't figured out who it is, but they think it's a New York cop. And then season two is about this man whose name I do not remember. This is like the early days of the internet, and it was like this weird platform that I've never heard of. Like, this has to be early millennial people, because I do not remember this platform. And I'm sorry, I don't know the name of it, because why would I? Harassed people. Like, he was good at, what's the word I'm looking for, like, not necessarily hacking, but he like just knew things about people and he would use it against them. And he only had relationships with these people on the internet, and some of these people like in person, and he just like harassed them and like found out stuff about them and used it against them, and like just made them where they couldn't relax because they were always afraid they were being watched. Like, he just it's something that nowadays wouldn't be difficult if it happened. I wouldn't be surprised, just because of the vastness of the internet now, that it shocks me that I don't hear more stories about it. But it's just, it's unsettling. It would make me never want to use the internet again. Like, so I recommend Unraveled. I don't know how many seasons they have, but I'm only on season two. And then the Murdoch murders. I'm sure everyone's heard about Alex Murdoch and his huge scandal with his company. He's a lawyer, and he was like stealing all these people's money, which they found that out. He also like shot himself and tried to say someone shot him, and it was all stupid, and he was caught. His son died.
Hella mysterious deaths around
just
him.
Honestly, his whole family is suspicious. Anyway, Alex Murdoch. Listening to that is like the most infuriating thing, and the whole time you're just gonna be like, "Eat the rich," because honestly, these people are so corrupt, it's insane.
You get away with anything.
Yeah, seriously, it's sad. But that's all the podcasts I've been listening to.
It's a lot more than me. Well, I'm always listening to The Adventure Zone, and Last Podcast on the Left, obviously. I feel like I don't need to say that. But I've gotten to, I'm close to the end of Taz Graduation, which means then I'm getting to Ether C, and that's like their current thing.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, oh no, like then I'm going to have to wait for new episodes and I'm going to forget what happens. But I'm also like excited. I'm probably going to restart the very beginning of Balance again at some point just because so good. It's so good. I'm so excited for you, like, just, like, every new development for you.
Yes. I'm in it.
Yes. I've been listening to Unladylike, which I feel like I've brought it up before. It's kind of like a feminist look at different things in society. Like, I recently listened to one episode called Child Free by Choice, talking about how much women have to fucking deal with people, like, questioning their choice to be child-free.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, there was an episode before that called, like, Child-Free, like, Not by Choice, but it's, like, talking about how, like, multiple infertile couples just decide not to have kids, and then people telling them that they just don't want it enough, or that, like, they're just not trying hard enough. And it's just, like, basically constantly just, like, looking at, like, how shitty people are to women. That's not all that they talk about. They talk about a ton of different things. I just listened to one about how, like, basically, like, misogyny is programmed right into our, like, AI and shit. And how, like, just the whole idea of all of these, like, phone servers, not servers as in, like, internet servers, but, like fucking Siri serves you. Alexa serves you. And they're all women. Don't listen to me.
Don't turn her on.
No, but they, like, it's, like, women serving you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, like, even to this day, we're still, like, dealing with how it's just, like, AI can't not be misogynist if it's programmed that way. You know what I mean?
True, so, but I will say that my Siri is an Australian man.
Oh, okay. Nice.
He's my Aussie husband.
I like that. Yeah, I think that I would change mine to a man, too. Serve me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. And then I've been listening to a lot of Put Your Hands Together, which is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. I'm not saying I've been anxious a lot lately, but it is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to when I'm anxious. Because it's hosted by, oh no, I love her.
You guys didn't see her face, oh my no. God.
Cameron Esposito, that's it. I am very upset because I love Cameron Esposito. And I like forgot her name for a second. So it's hosted by Cameron Esposito. And at the time, her partner, Rhea Butcher, which Rhea now goes by River Butcher now, I think. And so they're both comedians and they hosted like a stand-up comedy podcast. So a bunch of different comedians would come on and do just like little sets, and it's in front of a live audience, but then they released the audio to it. And it ended like right when I started at the CareSource. Like, so like summer of 2019 is when it officially ended, because River and Cameron got a divorce. And so they kind of like, they didn't want to host this show together anymore. But, oh my gosh, it's so funny. It's stand-up comedy, and it's, like, comedians that, like, you don't see as much in the mainstream, but, like, Nicole Byer's on it.
Love her.
Sasheer Zamata's on it. Joe Firestone. There are others. I can't ever remember names of all the comedians that I like. But, yeah, there are tons of great comedians, a lot of them that maybe you don't see as much, you know, on Netflix specials and stuff. And so it's I love it. It just makes me laugh all the time. And then another Cameron Esposito podcast that I've been listening to a lot is Queery, which is Cameron just talks to a lot of queer folks about their life stories. Generally, they're people that are fairly successful. A lot of comedians, musicians, actors, but also, like, some doctors and, yeah, just all sorts of people, authors. She had an interview very early on in the podcast with Mary Lambert, so, you know, I, like, cried a lot when I listened to that. It wasn't even emotional. I just like to cry whenever I think about Mary Lambert. So, yeah, it's an excellent podcast. I highly recommend it. Yeah, those are my podcasts.
Music?
Music!
Okay, Liquid Smooth by Mitski.
Hey,
someone
yeah.
put it on a playlist he made for me, and I'm obsessed with it. Good. This song called Middle of the Night by Ellie Douay. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I'm really bad at describing how these songs sound, so I'm just going to list them.
Oh, middle of the night?
Yeah. And then I can send you a screenshot of it so you don't have to write this down.
That would be great.
Persephone by Daisy the Great. I think they're one of my favorite bands right now. Teddy Hyde, Sex with a Ghost. That one's kind of silly. It's really fun. Can I Have a Ride Home? I'm at a Party and I Don't Know Anyone by Carpet Garden. Okay, no, I have to talk about this one, okay? It's about these two men who are in love with each other, but, like, no one ever knew and they never told anyone and they both have, like, girlfriends and stuff and it's just so fucking cute. It's
I so love that.
Queen of the Night by Hey Violet. Desert Rose by Lolo Zue. I hope I'm pronouncing that right because I'm pretty sure she's French. And there is a part of a verse, I think it's the second verse, that's all in French and it's so beautiful. And then my one K-pop song is Layin' Low by Hyalin. I freaking love her. She releases like a one song every 6 years or something. Jesus. And they're always so fucking good. So check it out. Just check it out. Yay. She's good. So that's all my music.
I've been like freaking jamming on this musical group called Portico Quartet. So it's like steel drums, regular drums, I think like a cello, and then a saxophone. And it is so good. And I think there are other instruments thrown in there, but those are the main instruments. And so one of my favorites right now is called Paper, Scissors, Stone. I just listen to it on repeat. I listen to that whole album that's on repeat, really. But anyways, it's amazing. I just bought an Arlo Parks vinyl at Omega Music with Aisha, so I figure I should put one of those on. I was listening to it during my lunch today, and Arlo Parks is amazing. Just her music has, first of all, her voice is great, and then her music has such great beats. So I'm recommending Super Sad Generation, because she mentions Gerard Way in that, so of course. Love More by Sharon Van Etten, featuring Fiona Apple, which is the reason I even saw it and downloaded it. Excellent song. Doing a throwback, I don't even know how this song got on my radar recently, but there's a song from 1966 called Going Out of My Head by Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66, and I have been listening to that and like singing it to my cats all week. And they don't love it, but I'm doing it anyways. And then another song from that exact same year, 1966, You're Dead by Norman Tanega, which the only reason that song's on my radar is because Birdie and I started watching What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show, and that's the theme song for it. And it's very, very, very good. It gets caught in my head all the time. Sante is the new single by Stromae. He's a French pop artist who I'm, like, just in love with. He's been releasing new music lately, and I'm so excited about that. And then I also wanted to mention the song Say Her Name by Alicia Lee, because we're doing that song in choir, and it is so freaking good! It's so good! It's so good! And I watched a YouTube version of it, because Alicia Lee, conducts a children's choir in, or it's a teen choir, in, I think, Philadelphia. And this past year, during the pandemic, they did their rehearsals and their performances via Zoom. And so each student individually recorded their part of the song, and then it was put together in this beautiful YouTube video. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But Alicia does, like, the main vocals at the beginning, and then they're all kind of, like, pieced in. And it is so cool! So, anyways, love that song. I'm so glad that we're in a choir that, like, does social justice pieces. I think that's fucking amazing. So, yeah, very good. That's it.
That's all I got.
That's the end. Thank you for listening to us. It's always a blast talking to you when you can't talk back to us. Just kidding.
You have to listen.
Yeah, just blabbing away. I like it. Check us out on the internet. We have a presence there, like on Instagram. You can follow our Instagram at goodreads_betterfriends. You can follow our Twitter at gr_bfpod. And then I put all of the show notes. I type up show notes, put links to things and all that jazz, just kind of recap everything we talk about. And I do that on Tumblr. So you can follow that at goodreadsbetterfriendspod@tumblr.com, I think is how you say that. And we also make playlists of all the songs that we talk about I make an individual playlist for this episode, and then I add all the music we talk about to a big, big playlist called GRBF's Big Fat Juicy All-Time Favorites playlist or something.
Maybe along those
more
lines.
Or less words than that. And you can email us at goodreadsbetterfriendspodcast@gmail.com if you have anything you want to share with us. Thoughts, comments, concerns, maybe some art you want to share with the world that we could maybe help you share. Yeah.
Send it,
please.
Your poems, your arts. We would love to hear from you. You can follow me on Instagram at i-ish-ug. That's I as in your eyeball. And that's it on Tumblr as well. I don't have a Twitter anymore, but I do... I could say that I try to post on our Twitter, but I haven't, so I will get better at posting on our Twitter.
You can follow me on Instagram at certified_morganic. And then that's all that I have.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
We'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.